listening to GeekCast Radio on GeekCastRadio.com.
There's 104 days of summer vacation, and school comes along just to end it. So the annual problem for our generation is finding a good way to spend it.
Like maybe
building a rocket, or fighting a mummy, or climbing up the Eiffel Tower, discovering something that doesn't exist,
hey!
Or giving a monkey a shower. Surfing tidal waves, creating nanobots, or locating Frankenstein's brain.
It's over here.
Finding a dodo bird, painting a continent, or driving our sister insane. As you can see, there's a whole lot of stuff to do before school starts this fall.
Come on, Barry!
So stick with us, cause Phineas and Ferb are gonna do it all. So stick with us, cause Phineas and Ferb are gonna do it all.
Mom! Phineas and Ferb are making a title sequence!
Hello and welcome to GeekCast Radio, episode 13. I am your host, DFG1 Mike, and Steve Megatron is not with us as he is working, most likely. And joining me is Pecan Court Michael. This is the first time Michael has been on this podcast. This is basically our general geek show where, like, any other, like, geeky topics, but, like, anything else that aren't, that don't have a specific show, that's where this comes in.
Okay then.
You're not gonna say hello or anything to the people? What the hell?
Hey, how's it going?
What's wrong with you?
Well, I wasn't sure where that was heading. We're getting into, okay, Steve's not here, but Mike's here, and we're not sure why. He just kind of showed up, and...
Yeah, well, I usually show up anyways, seeing as how I have to do all the work. Anyway.
Yeah, is the man not entitled to the sweat of his brow?
Or his beard. Whichever comes first.
Gross.
Anyways, what have you been up to?
You know, the same old, same old. Yeah, regular listeners to this podcast who don't listen to The Beast Unleashed, and shame on you. You should really be listening to that one, too, that fine quality podcast. They probably don't know enough about the trials and tribulations of my life and my kids and the huge gaps in my Transformers collection.
Huge gaps? You told me one time the only thing the only stuff you don't have is, like, the rarest of the rare stuff now.
Yeah, but that's huge, you know? I mean, there's those items that I don't have that I wouldn't mind having.
So what's your current holy grail?
That's a good question. I've got a small list I'm going to take with me to BotCon this summer. You know, I've still got a couple from 1987, some Headmasters and some Target Masters that I don't have. One of the Power Masters that is missing their engine and a couple of guns. Things like that. Mm. Yeah, so, I mean, nothing recent. I own most of those, but this is the older stuff that I lack.
Yes, all the recent stuff he's bought and stored in his closet, and his closet is overflowing with unopened toys.
It is ridiculous.
I'm telling you, man, you put on a red suit this year and a beard, you could be Santa Claus.
I'll just stand in front of the door of my office and then have little kids from the neighborhood walk in and walk out heavily laden in mint in box Transformers.
For a second there, I thought you were going to go the creepy route, because that kind of sounded a little creepy at first, but okay.
No, you know, it's
come into my house, little boy, so I can give you Transformers.
That's right, we have candy all inside. No, it's not. That wasn't interpreted to be the least bit creepy, but yeah, we're not going to let this show go the way of.
Oh no! Aged. No.
We're going to say as non-creepy as humanly possible.
Although we are explicit here at Geekcast Radio, so everybody should know that by now. We've only had 13 episodes of this show.
Well, thankfully there's no bestiality or necrophilia involved in Phineas and Ferb.
Okay, for a second there, I was going to say, wait, you just brought it up. What the hell are you doing?
Oh, I'm saying that there's... And now anyone who doesn't listen to Beast Unleashed is going, what? What is he talking about?
You know... I don't know. I guess the whole Perry thing... with Doofenshmirtz could be counted as bestiality.
Well, there does seem to be a kind of almost a on again, off again love affair there. With it's very Jerry Springerish. In fact, I think there was an episode where they had a Jerry Springer show.
Yeah, there probably was.
Yeah.
I just saw it just went off air about as we're recording this. We're recording this at. 10 o'clock or almost 11 o'clock Eastern Time, about a half hour ago, one of the episodes of Phineas and Ferb just went off. It was the one where they were using the photo transporter to get Ferb's skateboard back from Grandpa over in England. I don't know if you've seen that one.
I don't think I've seen that one. There's been, like 100 some odd episodes?
Something like that.
And I've only seen maybe a couple dozen. So I'm in no way, shape, or form an authority on it, but I just think it's a great show.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah. In my household, we watch way too damn much Disney. You know, and it started off with the kids' shows. You know, we watched an awful lot of Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, and... we watch my son Aiden. One of his favorite shows is The Imagination Movers.
Mm-hmm.
We watch a lot of Imagination Movers, and I mean, and those two shows alone will come on 80 times a day.
Mm.
And then as it gets to be nighttime, let's say 3, 4, or 5 o'clock, then you get your Hannah Montana and your Phineas and Ferb, which play endlessly all day.
Yep.
And, you know, not that I mind, but I mean, again, we've got this channel on all the time. And whenever I'm in front of the TV, I end up seeing Hannah Montana, and I end up seeing Phineas and Ferb. Now, Hannah Montana, I could probably do without. Wizards of Waverly Place, I actually like. God help me. And Phineas and Ferb, I'm a big fan now. I really like it.
Yeah, Phineas and Ferb is awesome. Phineas and Ferb is easily the best comedy cartoon today, I would say.
I'm trying to think if I know of any better.
Well, I'm talking just, you know, this style of animation. I'm not talking about like Ben 10 or any kind of action sci-fi,
right.
Star Wars, the clone, whatever the fuck they're on.
Right, that's very action-y.
I'm talking about just sheer comedy cartoons. This is the best one in my opinion.
Well, I mean, I'm sure there are people who would argue, you know, you're not going to put Phineas and Ferb against Family Guy or American Dad or The Simpsons.
Well, first of all, Family Guy and American Dad and Futurama and all that stuff, that's Fox crap. And Fox crap tends to go the way of the way Beast Unleashed is going right now. You know, Phineas and Ferb is wholesome humor.
Yeah, but I mean, I think you have to preface that and say, of the shows that aren't going for raunchy potty jokes, this is the best one.
Exactly.
Okay, yeah, I'll agree with that. I will buy that wholeheartedly.
Okay, pay up, give me the money.
All right. Yeah, you didn't produce it, so I'll have to pay you.
Anyways, so Phineas and Ferb, also known as Disney's Phineas and Ferb, is an American animated television series originally broadcast as a preview on August 17, 2007 on Disney Channel. The series follows two suburban stepbrothers on summer vacation. Each day, the pair devise ambitious, involved plans and inventions to stave off boredom, often bringing them into conflict with their sister Candace. The series follows a standard plot system. Running gags occur every episode. The B-plot almost always features the boys' pet platypus, Perry, acting as a secret agent to fight an evil scientist named Heinz Doofenshmirtz. Wonder, where's the catch-up now?
Doofenshmirtz, Evil Incorporated.
I gotta find that for this episode.
I don't do it right, so you...
I gotta find it for this episode. The two plots intersect at the end to erase all tracks of the boys' project just before Candace can show it to their mother. Just a little side note for behind the scenes here. Creators Dan Povemeyer and Jeff Swampy Marsh worked together on Nickelodeon series Rocko's Modern Life. Phineas and Ferb was conceived after Povemeyer sketched a triangular boy, the blueprint of the effeminous Phineas. In a restaurant, Povemeyer and Marsh developed the series concept together and pitched it to networks for 16 years before securing a run on the Disney Channel. Wow, that's dedication.
For 16, well, you gotta think, you know, I mean, these guys are basically acting as consultants, mm-hmm. right? So, I mean, you're an animation consultant, animating or voicing or whatever on one show for a couple seasons, and then that show goes under, and you look for another gig until you find another show that'll take you in, and you stay on that for a couple seasons. So, you know, maybe they each got a couple good runs, and, you know, three or four shows later, you know, let's say in between each show, they come back together and say, hey, remember that thing we did? Let's shop that around a little bit. Nobody wants it. Oh, we got another gig. Okay, and they go do something else. Mm-hmm. I mean, so 16 years doesn't... It seems like a long time, but, you know, they weren't sitting on their heels the whole time.
Oh, no, I'm sure they weren't, but I'm just saying, as far as this cartoon goes, it was...
Yeah, it's a long time coming.
You know, they were pitching it for 16 years.
I'd like to think that it was ahead of its time, and they just had to wait for the right time for it to click.
They had to wait for the future!
For the future!
Oh, boy.
More in jokes. We're sorry. We apologize.
Yes. Yeah, they've been... At the time, before it premiered in 2007, they had been pitched since 91. That's crazy. And, you know, honestly, I do agree with you. I think that, you know, it was before its time at the time that they were pitching it, because if you look at all the cartoons that came out in the 90s, like, the most... ones that I could kind of tie to it would be, say, Tiny Toons, Animaniacs, you know, cartoons like that.
Right.
You know,
I think those shows were more of ensemble shows.
Right.
Where you've got a lot of characters.
Right, but I mean, it's one of those things where those, at times, could be a little raunchy, but they're not friggin' Family Guy or Futurama. They're not, like, top raunchy, so I would pair those... with Phineas and Ferb, and honestly, I don't think, you know, if they got the go-ahead, you know, within that 16-year span, I don't think we would have what we have today.
No, definitely not. I mean, if they had gone with this earlier, before it really had time to ferment, 16 years to ferment, let's say, I think it would have ended up closer to, I want to say, Ren and Stimpy.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
No.
I seriously see this being close to Ren and Stimpy.
No. Because,
you know, we're not looking at an ensemble. We're not looking at, like, Muppet Babies here. You know, this the two core characters.
Yeah.
And there's other characters that kind of pop in and out here and there, but, you've got two core characters, and your main side character is an animal. Now that screams Ren and Stimpy. No, to me, anyway.
Nothing should scream Ren and Stimpy to anyone. That show is the worst show in the history of cartoons.
I would much rather subject
myself to the Mortal Kombat cartoon than watch friggin' Ren and Stimpy.
You know, there are anime lovers who really enjoy the Mortal Kombat cartoon.
Well, that's fine.
I
don't have a problem with the Mortal Kombat cartoon. I just know
you're gonna get a bunch of hate mail now.
Yeah, right. Hell, any mail is nice. Hell, we got a request. Steve and I got an email request to review a book and then interview the guy that wrote the book. But it's on a topic that has, and it's a little side note, it's on a topic that doesn't fit anywhere within our podcasting network. It just doesn't. It just wouldn't fit, unfortunately.
It's not Ian Cortless book, is it?
No, oh no. I'd love to get a hold of that, but it wasn't Ian.
Seriously thinking about doing a Geek Dad blog, actually, or a Geek Dad podcast.
You are?
But yeah, I'm thinking about it. Huh? And I think Ian's book would fit in there nicely.
Awesome.
As a topic, to be honest, but
mm-hmm.
Anyway, neither here nor there. We're still talking about Phineas and Ferb. So.
Yeah.
So anyway, who's your favorite character? It's hard, isn't it?
Yeah, it's so hard.
I love Perry and I love Douche and Smurge. I love their
Douche and Smurge. What's a Douche and Smurge?
Douche and Smurge. I would love to be able to do his accent. I can't really do it, but it's
I have Lederhosen.
That's right.
And then he the platypus.
Every time he goes into this backstory, you know, it's like, and then all the children made fun of me because I smelled like cheese, but I won't get into the story of why I smelled like cheese now. Let's just go on.
There was one episode where he went into a backstory, and then he went into another backstory to explain the backstory he'd already went into, and it just went backstory, 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 until we completely forget anything of what the original plot was.
No, I mean it's just a great couple of characters. I would watch a cartoon just about Agent P beating on Doofenshmirtz the whole time for half an hour. But I really like how they fit it in as the second plot line.
Yeah, as the B plot. Yeah.
Yeah. So you've got Phineas and Ferb who are building these outrageous contraptions, and then you've got Perry who's defeating Doofenshmirtz, and then at the end you've always got Doofenshmirtz's contraption somehow destroying or removing Phineas and Ferb's contraption so that they kind of cancel each other out and nobody's any the wiser.
Yeah. Favorite, God, see? Honestly, I like them all. If I really had to choose a least favorite character, it would probably be the other agents.
Yeah, they're kind of throwaway.
Yeah.
Agent Panda.
Yeah.
Getting back into the Jerry Springer moment, you know, where it's like, wait a minute, you're cheating on me with Agent Panda.
That's the episode. I remember that. Yeah.
Oh, that's
Peter
funny.
The Panda. Yeah.
Peter the Panda.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Okay. So you've got Perry the Platypus and Peter the Panda, and you know. It's like, well, I'm sorry, you just weren't treating me well enough, and I had to go with another agent to be my arch nemesis. And
did you see the one where they have to date? Oh, what was his name? Oh God, the stupid villain! They downgrade Doofenshmirtz's threat status because. This other giant guy who talks and has thunder and lightning boom after his voice. Oh, damn, what was his name? Oh, man. And then Doofenshmirtz went to work for the guy.
I haven't seen that one. I know they try to introduce other evil geniuses. They've got, like, a league of evil geniuses. And he's always trying to be the head evil genius. Yeah. That's a funny side story, but not one that I've seen a lot of.
What do you think of the flying car of the future today? You've never seen that episode, have you?
I don't think I've seen that. I've seen a lot of flying cars. actually, but I don't remember that particular flying car.
There was an episode where they modified the parents' car, and they called it the flying car of the future today, because it's not in the future, it's today.
Yeah.
And I believe it was the episode where they had this, where Candace busted the boys and sent them to this basically Jerry Springer-like boot camp, to basically break them down to make them have no imagination whatsoever.
Okay.
It was just one
put them on Ritalin and
yeah, you know, pretty much.
Them all up, yeah. The flying car that I remember wasn't so much a car until Ferb got a hold of it, and that was the. I want to say it was the Meep episode.
Yep.
Yeah, where he gets the UFO and he tricks it out.
Yep.
And that's like,
it occurs to me that some of the modifications I've made are not exactly street legal.
I love that. Which brings us to Ferb's one-liners.
Yeah.
He's kind of the Silent Bob of Phineas and Ferb.
Yeah, but he's much better than I love Silent Bob, but he's much better than Silent Bob.
Well, you know, Silent Bob has had maybe 5 or 6 movies. I love Kevin Smith, but I don't remember offhand how many movies Silent Bob has been in. Mm-hmm. And in each one he gets one line. Whereas Ferb is silent the entire episode, and then at the end he has one line. But there's been 100 some odd episodes, so
yeah.
He's actually talked a lot. And secondly, he's got a British accent, which makes everything he says sound cool.
Yes. It's one of those things where I like how they, like when Phineas asks him a question, he'll either do a thumbs up and you'll hear like a ding, like a cash register ding, or some sort of other sound effect, because obviously they don't want him. Apparently, you know, Ferb's whole gag is he doesn't talk, like you said.
Right.
So it's just one of those things where it's just an awesome plot line. I'm waiting for the episode where they show Phineas and Isabella having kids.
Oh. Well, they go into the future enough. You'd think they'd show that by now.
Yeah. There was the future episode where Candace goes in, or they go into the future, and then the Candace from the future follows them, you know, steals the time machine. That one, it was one of the most recent ones. She goes, Candace says something about Aunt Isabella, and Isabella's the child. Isabella's like, "Did you hear that? I'm gonna be their aunt. That means I'm going to be marrying Phineas. And the regular, you know, the present Candace, the teenage girl Candace, she goes, "Yeah, or Ferb." And there's just like Ferb. A silent pause. And I think Ferb just like puts his thumb up or whatever.
Yeah, cha-ching.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are some good episodes.
Some awesome episodes. Remember I showed you that one, Suddenly Susie?
Yeah.
That has got to be the most hilarious Doofenshmirtz gag I've ever seen in my entire, just from watching the show. That is my favorite Doofenshmirtz gag. He's doing the whole carbon footprint thing. Instead of reducing his carbon footprint, it's going to put it everywhere. And Perry's in this banana truck. He puts the banana on the street. The foot slips on it. It goes all the way up and over into the blimp and just knocked the blimp out of the sky. Oh god, that was
funny.
Yeah, that was so funny. I'm actually going on the. It surprised me that I found this. There is actually a Phineas and Ferb wiki.
Yeah,
have a wiki for everything now.
Yeah,
well, it was not bad, but
well, it's interesting. I mean, like I said, there's 100-some-odd episodes. There's a lot of stuff you can cram into a wiki.
Yeah. What do you think of the romance between Ferb and Vanessa?
Yeah, to preface, Vanessa is...
Doofenshmirtz's daughter.
Was it daughter or niece?
No, it's daughter.
Okay, Doofenshmirtz's daughter, and she's kind of like... The, what is she in black leather?
Yeah, she's in black, It's a black jumpsuit or black something.
She's just kind of hot.
Yeah.
It was just kind of, like, really hot. And, you know, you can't really say that about cartoon characters without, you know, being perceived as a little creepy. But, you know, we've already covered that. but, yeah, there was an episode I saw the other day where... Oh, I'm not sure if it's where Ferb and Vanessa met, but Vanessa was trying to retrieve this...
blueprint?
No, it was like a T-virus looking thing.
Oh, yeah, no, I think they first met in the blueprint factory.
Oh, okay,
where,
yeah.
Where Carl was dressed up as the black lady and he mixed up the blueprints.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that. But there was the episode where she's chasing down this T-virus. It's this little glowing cylinder that looks like a T-virus from Resident Evil, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, the Girl Scouts are after it, and the bully and his little sidekick are after it, and Agent P's after it, you know, because he doesn't want Doofenshmirtz to have it, and Vanessa's after it because she does want Doofenshmirtz to have it. And they're all running around the Sam's Club. This big, it's like this big warehouse club where they're all doing their shopping and they're chasing each other in grocery carts. And Vanessa teams up with Ferb.
Yep.
And, you know, she'll stop short like, oh, you know, I can't quite, you know, catch it. And he'll jump in and assist. And it was really funny because the one line in that episode that Ferb said was, He was trying to. I think he was searching for the T virus in this ball pit, and she's like, "You know, I don't even know your name." And he said, "Oh, it's Ferb. It's short for. Oh, look, I found it." Pulls it out of the ball pit, and then she grabs it and runs. And Ferb's mom comes and says, "Ferb, aren't you a little old to be playing in the ball pit?"
Yeah.
And he says, "Yes." Yes, I am. Which is the other running joke, but I think they make a cute couple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the wiki here, and I'm looking at the main characters and cast here. Dee Bradley Baker voices Perry the Platypus.
Now, is that just the chitter sound?
I would assume so, but he's listed as the voice of Perry.
I can't do the chitter sound.
I can't either.
I don't think Perry, or not Perry, I don't think that Phineas and Ferb can do it either, because there was at least once where they were... They tried, and it was like... It was this horrible sound.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, that's about as close as I can get.
The villain, I just remembered it. The villain that Doofenshmirtz got downgraded for was called the Regurgitator.
Fantastic.
It
sounds like one of his secret weapons.
Yeah.
The Regurgitator Inator. Yeah.
What do you think of the whole naming of the gadgets?
Everything's the Inator.
Yeah.
It's the Regurgitator Inator.
Yeah.
Everything's called Inator. At some point, they're going to run out of names.
Yeah.
But everything's the Inator. It's not very original. But,
no.
As far as cast goes, and you know I'm going to bring this up, but...
Yeah, the Rocky Horror Picture Show connection with Richard
O'Brien. That's
right.
Richard O'Brien.
Yeah.
Well, back in the day, he was known as Ritz O'Brien, which I'm assuming is a British thing.
Probably.
If he was American, they'd call him Dick O'Brien, but I guess in Britain, they call him Ritz. You know. I don't know how it works, but he was Ritz O'Brien back in the day when he wrote Rocky. So this is the guy who wrote it. And watched it, you know, spring into being, and I think as it really became popular, he didn't get any money off of it. I'm assuming he sold the rights long ago.
Mm.
But, you know, still, this is Riff Raff. He's a very famous guy.
Mm.
And to think now he's got a steady gig playing the dad on Phineas and Ferb. There was an episode I was watching recently that had a lot of the dad in it, and I'm listening to it thinking, that's Ritz O'Brien. Holy crap.
Yeah.
It didn't sound like him, though. I mean, you know, when I think of Richard O'Brien, I'm thinking, you know, Riff Raff, 1980, where he's like, you know, singing the Time Warp.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's astounding. And it didn't sound like that at all. It sounded like some British guy. And I would have never guessed Rich O'Brien, but there he is. And they have Tim Curry, who is Frankenfurter, and Barry Bostwick, who played Brad. And they both have... I'm not sure if they're recurring roles. Tim Curry, I think, what plays the grandfather?
No. Hold on, let me look, because I went to look. Let's see. According to this, Clyde Flynn is played by Barry Bostwick.
Okay.
And Reginald Fletcher is played by Malcolm McDowell.
Oh, Malcolm McDowell plays the grandfather. Okay. I've only seen the grandfather a couple of times.
Yeah.
I know he's got a recurring role, but Malcolm McDowell, how cool is that?
Oh, yeah.
He wasn't in Rocky Horror, but still, how cool is that?
Well, you got Carolyn Ray doing two voices. Every so often when her parents would show up, she plays, obviously, the mom, Linda Flynn. She also plays the grandmother, Betty Jo Flynn. You got Allison Janney as Doofenshmirtz's ex-wife.
Now, who is that, Allison Janney? I'm not...
West Wing.
Okay.
She was in the West Wing. She was in 10 Things I Hate About You.
Somebody famous, not sure who it is, though.
She was in... recently, she was in the season premiere of Inside on USA. Let me look her up here. So, what do you think of the music? Because music is a big part of this show.
Hit or miss,
mm-hmm.
I would say. You know, I like it. There are some songs that are really catchy, and I really like them a lot. And they're, you know, I like the ones where the characters are singing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have, you know, Candace sang a lot. And what was that, Ashley Tisdale?
Mm-hmm.
She's singing all the time on Disney Channel, but
yeah.
But you know, they got some good ones. They got some bad ones. There are some that are really, really funny, and then there, you know, there's some that are just you know. But and they, how should I put it? They there are some that are just really short. And they may be, you know, a couple seconds, you know, 10 seconds long.
Yeah.
Just long enough for, like, a chase scene. You got Perry chasing Doofenshmirtz, and there's a little ditty going on in the background, and that's the extent of it. And sometimes it's full-on rock ballads where you've got Candace singing.
Yeah, like Evil Boys, which wasn't actually her. That was, it wasn't actually her, but it was, what's his name, one of the creators, Pavemeyer, I think, does her male voice, her low voice, for the singing.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I read that on the cast thing. Let me look. Let me pull up the cast here.
I would not have guessed.
Yeah. Let me see. Let me go back here. I'd have to say my favorite song right now to listen from that show is the F Games. From the episode where they built the Colosseum to have the super giant foosball fight.
Not remembering that one.
Oh, jeez. Now I'm going to have to find that on YouTube for you.
No. I mean, no. Don't bother yourself now. But
you know, no, not right this minute.
Yeah, we'll catch up. Yeah.
Candace Flynn is listed as Ashley Tisdale, obviously, and Dan Povenmire plays Candace's allergy-infected voice, which...
Oh, but not her singing voice, though.
Yeah, but there's no way Ashley Tisdale played a deep, deep baritone voice. Because, yeah, no, there's just no way. There's just no way. Oh man. Squirrels in My Pants was hilarious.
Okay, I thought we weren't going there this time.
No, the song, Squirrels in My Pants. It's a song in this show.
Like I said, there's some songs that I'm familiar with. There was one song, there was one where they decided to make a rock band, They had, God, I forget the name of the character now. Reed or Freed or the kid who sang.
Oh man, I forget.
Yeah, we should have like cast list or something. Freejeet.
Oh, Baljeet.
Baljeet, yeah, Baljeet sang. Yeah. And the whole premise of the song was he was mad because he wasn't getting a grade.
Yeah.
Or was that a different episode?
I'll have to get up in a second, but I'm going to Evil Boys for a second because I'm getting up here. It's from the episode Jerk du Soleil. It was sung by Candace under the effects of her wild parsnip allergy as she was trying to convince her mom that Phineas and Ferb were putting on a circus in the backyard. Her song also includes some of the other things she tried to bust her brothers throughout the previous episodes. So yeah, it was sung by one of the creators.
Oh, okay. I remember that because that was like a blues riff.
Yeah. What was the song you were asking about? The Baljeet song?
Baljeet song, right. Where he was, I couldn't even begin to remember any of the lyrics, but...
It's something about, school and bad grades.
Yeah. I mean, he was mad because it was like, wait a minute, you mean I'm not being graded on this? If I'm not getting an A, why bother? Yeah, it was just, you know, it was funny. I liked it. I mean, but like I said, there are some songs that are just short, kind of forgettable, you know, chase scene type songs, and then there's, you know, full-on rock ballads where they're, you know, where it's really, really, really funny stuff. But I like those.
The Aglet song, oh God.
What's an Aglet? What?
No. There was an episode, Tip of the Day, where Phineas and Ferb wanted to find out about what the end of a shoelace is. The tip of a shoelace, which is called an aglet. So they put on this big benefit concert for the aglet, and they had a song called Aglet, A-G-L-E-T, and Doofenshmirtz had some invention that makes people forget what they're doing, and it blasted the entire stadium crowd. Uh-huh. And they're like, Aglets, yeah, I don't care about that anymore.
Okay.
I
get that all day, to be honest. You know? No matter what I'm doing, it's like, I just don't care enough about this to continue. I think I better do something else now. Maybe I'll feel better about this later. But here's something interesting. The actual demographics.
Okay.
Throughout the first quarter that followed, it peaked as the top rated animated series for ages 10, or I'm sorry, 6 to 10 and 9 to 14, also becoming a number 3 animated series for all of cable television for viewers aged 6 to 10. By the time the commissioning of the second season was announced in May of 2008, the series had become a top-rated program in the 6 to 11 and 9 to 14 age groups. So what I'm wondering is, you know, if Disney Channel has a huge slice of the market as far as these particular age demographics go, right? I mean, could you have a show on Disney Channel that didn't automatically take the 6 to 10 and 9 to 14 year old demographics?
Probably not.
I mean, honestly, there's a, like, let's take for instance The Suite Life of Zack and Cody. This is the worst show on television.
No, it's not. No, it's not. Geekcast Radio Network is not responsible for any opinions given by Michael Wilson on this subject. Suite Life of Zack and Cody is awesome. Shut up.
The boring and completely not entertaining life of Zack and Cody, you find this entertaining?
I find it more entertaining than when they starred in Big Daddy.
Big Daddy.
Because Big Daddy, the Adam Sandler movie, that was Cole and Dylan Sprouse's, like, big break.
Oh, that was them?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. They didn't have any hair.
Huh?
Well, so they didn't have any hair. All right, so suffice to say, I don't like this show. I don't find it funny at all. I mean, it's really just bad. And, you know, the fact that it's on the Disney Channel means that, and the fact that they're going to show it once an hour across their three channels 15 times a day, right? They literally have no choice but to get ratings.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Phineas and Ferb, I will deliberately seek out and try to watch. But, you know, in between Hannah Montana and Phineas and Ferb, I will change the channel so as to avoid The Suite Life on Deck. Because I just can't watch it. It makes me ill.
Boy.
And sadly enough, I have to change the channel to another Disney channel so that my kids can still watch Disney.
Oh, boy.
But, you know, and I think that's the quagmire you get into. That if it's on Disney, if you're lucky enough to be blessed by, you know, Buena Vista Entertainment, then you're gonna have a hit show, because kids of this age have no choice but to watch it.
Yeah.
Unless, you know, their parents are really, really liberal and let them watch Nickelodeon.
I just found the episode where that song was that you asked about Baljeet. So I'm hopefully going to see here.
I'm having one of those moments where you've just ignored everything I
said. No, I heard what you said. You don't like Zack and Cody. Fine, whatever. You suck. You know what's really sad that I've found since we've been talking about all this, especially when you brought up the fact that it's 6 to 10-year-old demographic?
Whilst I was ignoring you...
We are two 30-something-year-old men. That's kind of scary.
Well... I would say, but I have two children in my household, but technically, no, not really. My kids are 1.5 and 3.5, so they don't really fit that demographic. but you know, my 3.5-year-old loves it. He thinks it's great. In fact, the one time, and you'll remember this, and again, we're getting on in jokes that people who don't listen to the other podcast won't catch up on, but the vacuum cleaner reading incident, where Aiden says, my shoe, that was a Phineas and Ferb that we turned off. And
you're going to have to find some way to recreate that.
I try, and...
You're going to have to find a way without a vacuum cleaner to recreate that. Well, I have a fairly good version of it, and it will probably be part of the intro to this episode, or the outro. Yeah. I need a clean version of him saying it.
Well, you know, I've tried a couple of times to get him to say, my show, and I've got him to say, like, my show, you know, or like, my show, but he's not like, my show, you know. It's not like we just turned it off and he's freaking out, right? Yeah, but, that was, I think that was lightning in a bottle and we didn't quite catch it, but I keep trying. Like I said, I'm thinking about doing the daddy, the geek dad podcast type thing with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I will have the iPhone with the voice recorder on next to us while we interact, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes he'll say really funny things. Mm-hmm. And sometimes he just doesn't. Sometimes he won't listen to a damn thing I say. But, I've gotten close to having him say, my show! So I wanted to get a nice clean record of that.
Mm. Yeah.
But, yeah. Because, you know, you played it in that one the 50th anniversary podcast for Toycast.
Yeah.
And I thought it was funny, but I don't think anybody who hadn't already heard it would even understand what the hell was going on. You know, you've got this weird screeching going on, you know, with a vacuum or something.
Well, now, honestly, when I rewatched your video that you uploaded to YouTube...
Yeah.
When I went to record the audio, unfortunately, your wife turned the vacuum cleaner on right as he said it once again, so I was able to get it to where you can kind of hear the background noise, but not really. It's more of him saying, my show! But there wasn't really a clean piece of it in that video.
Yeah.
And that's one of those moments where it's probably never going to happen again.
It might not. Yeah, well, we'll try. Maybe we'll get it. I'm going to have to just put a little recording device on him the whole time.
No. We don't want him scarred for life.
You know, he had one. God, we were getting way off topic. At one point, we were testing him for speech therapy because he just wasn't talking. He would say... He had maybe 5 or 6 words, and he was, this was after he turned 2, and we were really getting worried. So we had him tested, and part of the testing was for him to wear a little pair of overalls with an MP3 recorder built into the pocket in the front. And we recorded him for 3 days, and then sent that into the to the testing facility. And they returned with a really nice report on, you know, how many words he said per hour, and the frequency of the words, and the extent of his vocabulary.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was nice. Yeah. But no, we've recorded him for extended periods, and he's not scarred for life.
Yes. Getting back on topic here, that
yes.
song that you were wondering about, it's in the episode called The Baljeetles, and the song was Somebody Give Me a Grade.
That's right. Yeah.
And Doofenshmirtz's one of Doofenshmirtz's quotes from that episode is, "Curse you, Perry the..." Wait, is that the Baljeetles?
Every episode. "Curse you, Perry the Platypus." Yeah.
My whole point. I'm sorry to cut you off. But my whole point of trying to remember who that other villain was.
You had a point?
Shut up. The Regurgitator?
Yeah.
Was because Doofenshmirtz was always complaining about how he was being treated working for this guy. And when the super secret agent James Bond double that Perry teamed up with tried to defeat him, Doofenshmirtz just landed on his butt. Well, at the end of the episode, as he's falling out of the blimp or the airplane or the helicopter or whatever it is, somebody throws a pillow down, and he like does like 6 somersaults over the grass, and his face lands in the pillow, and he's like, "Thanks, you guys do it right." Yeah, that completely went over your head.
Yeah, well, you said what? "Thanks, you guys do it right."
Talking about Major Monogram and them, how they treat.
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
The whole "Curse you, Perry the Platypus." He says that every episode, and the funny thing is that occasionally they mix it up, where at one point he says something like, he mixed up his evil killer Rayinator with a giant ice cream maker that the boys had made.
Yeah, that and, was the the episode where Vanessa and Ferb met.
Yeah, and he says something along the lines of, this really isn't illegal, so I guess we'll just go. Curse you, Player of the Platypus. And he kind of waves and walks
away. Yeah. Or there's the episode where he's having digestive problems, and he's like, "Player of the Platypus, can you just come back later or tomorrow or something? I'm going to be a while."
Oh, I didn't see that one, but that's funny.
Oh, jeez. And then there's the time travel episode where they go into the future. And I know we've kind of brought this up already, but we didn't bring up the subplot of that. Subplot of that is when Candace finally does bust the boys, it causes a chain reaction, like we mentioned before, where everything changes and Doofenshmirtz takes over Danville. And
the Danville of the future.
Yes. 2015's a rough patch. And
oh man, I almost spit out my water that time.
Yeah, I heard that. But it shows that Doofenshmirtz and Perry are old. It's almost like the Bugs Bunny Elmer Fudd episode where they show the future of the two of them, and they're old geezers. And it's just, it's funny as hell that one chain reaction of something happening, like from Phineas and Ferb, and it just doesn't, it just doesn't go right for anything else.
Yeah, that whole episode was such an homage to Back to the Future.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was real. I mean, I'm a big Back to the Future fan, so that episode, I just watched the whole thing with, you know, just utter glee, if you could put it that way. I won't. Take that back. I'm not going to say that. I really enjoyed it. Yeah. Well, just like at the end of the Meep episode, where they say, "Oh, next time," you know, and they show
I've been looking for that. Is that just a spoof?
I think it's just a spoof. But
damn it!
They're like, next time, and they go through a whole Star Wars homage.
Yep.
You know, and it looks awesome. I would love to see that episode.
And you know who does the exists. You know who does the narration for that whole episode, for that episode 39 or whatever it was, the Meeve episode?
Who?
Don LaFontaine.
No way.
Rest in peace, Don. Yes way. Because when he's doing next time on the, you know, on the Meep, you know, next, you know, Meepless in Seattle, that's Don LaFontaine. Because at the very end of the episode, when you see the Disney Channel logo, he goes, "In a world." There, I said it. Happy. And I've got that clip, and I use it on M-Wire. It's the final line of M-Wire.
Yeah, he's iconic. I mean,
rest in peace, Don LaFontaine.
Yeah, no one will do that as well again.
Do you remember the song, "She's a Truck Driving Girl"? No. When Candace, an episode where Candace had to learn how to drive, and the only way she could learn how to parallel park is if she was in a monster truck.
Oh, yeah! No, I think eventually she, like, does a complete 180 spin into a parking spot, and they're like, okay.
Yeah.
That's right. So, what do you think about the whole movie thing that we're not going to see until 2011?
Oh, yeah.
I'm totally taking Aiden to see that.
Well, I mentioned to you earlier that it's not going in theaters, I don't think. Phineas and Ferb Across the Second Dimension. According to a March 3rd, 2010 Disney press release, a made-for-television film based on Phineas and Ferb, entitled Phineas and Ferb Across the Second Dimension, is set to be aired in the summer of 2011. The film will concern Phineas and Ferb discovering Perry's secret life as a secret agent. They decide to collaborate with him and assist him in defeating an alternative Doofenshmirtz from a parallel dimension who is far more devious and threatening than his prime counterpart.
Made-for-television film. See, now, for me, a cartoon made-for-television film is literally two episodes put back-to-back.
Right.
I mean, that doesn't really seem... It's kind of like when Transformers the movie came out in 1986.
You're a bad Transformers fan. You don't even remember when the damn movie came out. What the hell?
Sorry, I'm having a brain freeze there a moment. But basically, they put it on television, but they split it up into three episodes.
Mm.
And they put commercials in there and then cut out all the parts that were really any good.
Right.
And, you know, so it's like I saw it when I was little, but I didn't really see a good version of it until much later when I had it on VHS.
I would say that this movie, made-for-TV movie, whatever it's going to be, I would say it's going to be anywhere from 90 minutes or more. Because if you look at Phineas and Ferb's model now, they show two episodes per half hour.
Okay.
They show one episode, and it's like maybe 15-minute episodes in 30 minutes, and not, you know, and including the commercials. So
I think they're shooting for 11-minute episodes.
Yeah, so it's like an 11-minute episode plus the commercials.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I would say I'm not really sure what this is going to be. I can't wait to find out more about it. I hope that we do soon.
It's like 9 episodes in a row.
Oh, God.
Ooh, that sounds exciting now.
But if it's an overall plot, though, and it's not broken up,
Yeah.
It'd be good.
I think that given their current format, I mean, literally, they have an A plot and a B plot that wraps up within 11 minutes.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be very difficult to stretch that out into a 90-minute... It's like an SNL skit that they stretch out into a whole movie, and by the end of the movie, it's like, oh my God, I just sat through a 5-minute SNL skit that they stretched out for another 90 minutes, and, ooh, boy, I just want to go to the bathroom now. Puke up my popcorn.
Oh boy!
No, I'm excited. I would be more excited if I could actually go to the theater and see it, because I think by 2011, Aiden will be old enough to actually sit through a movie, a 90-minute movie, let's say.
Yeah.
And I think he'd really enjoy it. I wouldn't mind this being his first movie. I could totally see that, going to a matinee, and, you know, you're there with a bunch of other parents with their screaming children, and it's annoying as hell because you can't hear the movie, but...
Yeah.
I think he'd enjoy it. He'd be in the middle of the theater screaming, "My show!"
That would be so awesome.
It would be.
Oh, that would be so awesome.
Much better than sitting in the living room and yeah, that's what we'll end up doing.
Yeah. So
by 2011, I'll have my 80-inch 3D HDTV, and you know, we'll watch it in 3D. Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
Phineas and Ferb across the second dimension in 3D. Actually, then it'd be across the third dimension in 3D.
What do you think? We need to bring this up because, what do you think that they... Now, I don't know how Phineas and Ferb seasons are going. I know they just started the third season on TV. What... I know the basic overall premise of the show is the two kids on summer vacation, and I know the creators have said that they will never, ever go back to school. What do you think when they're not doing... Like, when they're not airing new episodes... Like, say season 3 starts...
Warp drive signature detected.
I have you now.
Well, like my afterburners, I'm a bullet whizzing by. I'm 0-260 light years in the blink of an alien eye. I'm in a shaking, baking, stinking, smoking like me, vertical crime. If I was going any faster, I'd be going back in time. Maybe nothing but a paper trace in my ride from outer space.
We must never speak of this again.
Agreed.
I can bash you through a nebula and slingshot round the sun. Don't look no further, Betty, cause you know I'm number one. I'll chop that brain that bobbed that field, you got to trick it out. Whatever to your dimension, you'll know what it's all about. I can tell good from bad, you're there on your face. You're digging my ride from outer space. I know you're digging it, baby. My ride from outer space. My ride from outer space.
There are 2 1 this weeks for our winter vacation before New Year's and school comes to an end. So the holiday challenge for kids of all nations is finding a good way to spend it.
Like maybe turning our beds into dual toboggans or sliding down a ski jump tower. Building a snowman the size of Colossus or giving a Yeti a shower. Staging a snowball fight with giant catapults and snow angels that really fly. Rocking a Christmas carol, wrapping a present, or just shoveling snow off the drive.
Well, they can't all be fun.
As you can see, there's a whole lot of stuff to do before school starts next year. So stick with us, cause Phineas and Ferb are gonna spread some Christmas cheer. So stick with us, cause Phineas and Ferb are gonna spread some Christmas cheer.
What was I gonna say? Oh yeah, what do you think they do when the show, like, isn't airing new episodes? Like, what do Phineas and Ferb and the rest of the characters do, like, when it's not summer?
They have Christmas vacation.
Yeah, that's true. That was a first. What did you think of Christmas vacation?
I thought it was funny, in the sense that, in the intro, you know, they have a whole song about what they do on summer vacation, and it's all summer-type stuff. And then for the Christmas vacation, they have an intro that's all about what they do on Christmas vacation, and it's like turning their beds into toboggans and going downhill sledding in them, and
yeah,
things like that. Christmas activities, winter activities, let's say. That you know, I thought that was really funny. I would like to see a spring break episode where, you know, for spring break they all go down to Florida and watch wet T-shirt contests.
Now, you dirty old man. Come on. This is a Disney Channel show.
What else do you do on spring break? I mean, you know, it's all over MTV.
MTV still covers spring break? Wow.
You know, it's been about 10 years since I've actually watched MTV.
Yeah, me too. It's probably been longer than that for me.
No, it was back when they used to have videos.
That's been longer than 10 years, dude.
Oh, God, what was it? I want to say, when did Terminator 2 come out?
In the 80s.
It wasn't 80s, was it? It was like 90-something.
80-something? Like late 80s, early 90s, I would say.
Not even 89.
Okay.
Like 89, 90, but yeah, back then, I was telling you on Twitter a few days ago that You Could Be Mine was the Guns N' Roses song that was the theme for Terminator 2. And I remember when it came out, I was all excited, you know, Terminator 2. And then they would play You Could Be Mine, the video, 80 times a day.
Yeah.
I mean, it was on all the time. And then shortly after that, they quit showing videos.
Yep.
It was all, you know, all their regular, you know, reality show type programming.
Yeah, reality shows and their horrible attempt at a soap opera, Spider Games, in 2001.
By then I wasn't watching MTV.
Look it up on Wikipedia, you'll see what it is.
Yeah.
Pretty much take any of the ABC soaps, put in some younger characters, a few older characters, and put it on MTV and make it more raunchy. And, yeah, that's MTV's soap opera.
Okay.
Anyways, back to Phineas and Ferb. I never thought they would do something like Christmas Vacation. I thought it was extremely cool. It's nice to see that they're doing stuff outside of the norm.
Yeah.
Of the normal A plot, B plot thing.
Right.
So, yeah. I'm going to try my hardest to get as many of the songs in this episode as possible. I don't know if I'll be able to, just depending on time length and where I can put them, but I'm going to try to get a good number of the songs in this one.
One or two would be nice, some of the better ones.
Well, some of the good, like some of the, you know, good ones. Not probably not all of them, but some of the better ones, yeah. What else do we want to say about Phineas and Ferb? Anything?
Toys! Are you going to be doing Phineas and Ferb toys for ToyCast?
If I can find them, probably.
They'll probably have them at the Disney store when they finally release them.
The Disney store. Whatever. Too expensive.
What?
Too expensive!
You know, I will go on a limb here and defend the Disney store. Occasionally, they will have really good sales. You know, like, every year we go to the mall on the day after Thanksgiving, and they'll have like a clearance sale and sell everything for $5. And, you know, we just go insane and buy all sorts of stuff for Christmas.
I like buy one, get ones. If they ever have buy one, get ones, let me know.
I don't think they're going to go that far, but, you know.
Well, you know, they should.
You probably could compare it to that, because these are normally $10 items that they're selling for $5,
yeah.
So technically, it's a buy one, get one.
No. I mean, buy one, get one free. Not buy one for $5 and get another one for $5.
Let's buy one for $10 and get one free.
Huh.
When they're normally $10.
Yeah.
See the math, how that works?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Math is evil. Anyways. Who's your favorite character? You didn't really say earlier, I don't think.
I have a hard time. I'm not really sure, because, I mean, I really like Doofenshmirtz. I think he's hilarious. But, again, he wouldn't be as hilarious without the interaction with Agent P.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say technically they're one character, but they're always together. And if they're apart, then you don't really see them at all. Except, you know, where's Perry? And, you know, oh, there he is. You know.
Oh, there was an episode where they asked Phineas and Ferb were going to Lake Nosy or Lake Nozakana, I don't know, some summer camp thing. And they asked Baljeet to watch Perry the Platypus, and he's like, yeah, I'll watch him, and I'll make sure you know, nothing happens to him. And finally, Perry is able to escape. So he actually makes a second fake Perry the Platypus, and it turns out into this whole citywide concert of "Where's Perry?" It's like, oh my god. What do you think of the Baljeet Buford relationship, I guess you could call it?
It's interesting because Buford, I mean, he's clearly evil, but they don't portray him as evil.
No, he's a bully.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's well, maybe evil is a little strong for a bully character, but, you know, he's clearly very mean to Baljeet. But at the same time, they're the best of buds, right?
Yeah.
You know, they're always together, and they can't. I think at one point they tried, like, for lack of a better term, breaking up. You know, and yeah. They just couldn't do it. They're like, no, I need you, and you know. So I mean, they're inseparable, but you know, he's bully. He's always being mean to Baljeet.
Tough dumb.
Yeah, Baljeet just kind of takes it.
Yeah.
But I think they actually said, the creator said that, you know, we don't want a mean character.
Yeah.
He's still nice to, I don't want to say nice, but, I mean, they still have a dynamic together. I'm going to pound on you relentlessly, and it's going to be funny.
Buford is a redeemable character.
Yeah.
He's not full on evil like Hines is. I mean, Hines is evil. He's stupid evil, but he's still evil.
Yeah.
Like the episode where he tries to create Dufania, his own city.
Yeah.
And it's built. The city is built, but it's built on a tire tube raft balloon thing. So you know, as soon as a pin goes in it shrinks up and shrivels. And it's like a floating city on the water, and it's like, oh, that's not going to work, and it sunk. Or the episode, I forget what episode it is, and I'm not going to look it up for fear of my computer hacking itself to death. There's an episode where he's going to close off the inner part of, what's the name of the town? Danville.
Yeah.
And he calls his machine the Boat. The B-O-A-T, Boat. I'll have to find it.
Right over my head, sorry.
You have so not watched enough Phineas and Ferb.
Well, I mean, you know, it doesn't help that they play the same episodes over and over and over again. And they got 100-some-odd to choose from. Probably seen the same dozen 100 times.
That's what YouTube's for.
Oh, you know... Like I said, it's on my TV all the time, but I'm not going to go out of my way. You know what would be cool is if they had it on DVD, and then we just pop the DVD in and watch the whole thing.
They do have a couple of DVDs, but they don't have like a whole season full.
I'm not going to go out and get a two-episode DVD.
Yeah, they have a volume set DVD, I believe. Let me look it up really quick. Let's see. Oh, damn, what was I going to say? What do you think of the parents being so clueless as to their adventures?
That's a good question. I mean, I think the better question is, you know, what do you think of the parents and their own personal lives? In that, you know, well, first of all, it's important that the parents be clueless, that the mom never finds out. Perry is a secret agent, or that Phineas and Ferb build these fantastical creations in the backyard. But they occasionally have episodes where they delve into the parents' past lives and what they had done, like you know, what's the background for the mom, what's the background for the dad, and
Lindana.
Yeah, and Lindana, exactly. Though I find those very entertaining. I like those too.
Yep. Let's see. I'm looking at the TV shows and DVD article. The Fast and the Phineas is Volume 1. It's a never-before-seen two-part episode. We'll have the show's original pitch made to the studio by Dan Pavmeyer of Family Guy. Also, Phineas and Ferb's homemade Tree Shade Arcade, an exclusive arcade complete with custom-made games and activities. So that's out. For $20, which isn't bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's see. What's Volume 2? Volume 2 is The Days of Summer. Let me see here. Oops, that went to a completely different thing than I wanted to. Having tons of issues here.
How do you spell that?
Yes, video. Ach, I don't know. I didn't know I had phlegm.
Yeah.
Alright, Walt Disney Studios Home Entertainment has announced that Phineas and Ferb, The Days of Summer, the second DVD volume for the animated series, is coming out on February 10th. This was a couple of years ago, I think, actually, but the 112-minute release will cost $20. Video is full screen, audio is English, Dolby Digital Stereo. As you can see in the cover picture below, cropped from the Disney sales sheet, it comes with some fun bonus science experiments. Check it out. It doesn't actually say which episodes. I believe it's just Days of Summer. There might be other episodes. But the special features with the all-new Googleplex Mall Science Fair games. So I'm betting that it has the Science Fair where they help Baljeet build the portal to Mars. Do you remember that episode?
Yeah, but does it sound like a season?
No, it's not. No, it's not a season. There are two volume DVD sets. There's volume one and volume two. They haven't gotten to seasons yet. I think they're testing the market with these volumes.
Yeah.
Just to see if sales are good enough to put out seasons. That's normally what they do. Yeah. And the series is still in production anyways, so we wouldn't probably see a season set until much later. Volume 1 came out in 08, and Volume 2 came out last year. So, it might be considered double-dipping if you get them now, but if you just want them for fun, it's not that bad.
Well, there's always YouTube if you just want them for fun. I mean, if you just want to watch them just to see it,
if
then...
you're too lazy for YouTube.
Yeah,
I have to actually go on hunts for episodes that you have know nothing about now.
Yeah.
And link you to them,
because I will...
What the hell that is
what?
I thought a giant noise, like a giant robot was walking up behind you or something.
No.
I don't know, there's something weird there.
This Megatron's going to get me. Steve sicked him on me for burying him in the backyard.
We're way past that now.
Yes.
Don't even try. Don't even try.
I can't do it. Not nearly as well as Steve can.
No.
Yes. Yes. Where was I? I don't know. I don't even know what I was talking about.
Overall impressions on Phineas and Ferb. What are your overall impressions?
I like it. I think that, as far as the PM type shows on the Disney Channel go, it's probably one of the better ones. It's very well written. You have to have a lot of foresight in order to get, to write an A side story and a B side story that come together at the end so perfectly every time in 11-minute episodes over and over and over again. I mean,
yeah.
This is just some really well done writing.
Yep.
I enjoy the show. I like it. Could the animation be better? Maybe. But I mean, we're shooting at a particular demographic here who probably don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying, oh, the kid's got a triangle head. What the hell's up with that? I mean, there's a style to it that's very, very good, but again, could that style be improved upon? Could cell shading be improved? That type of thing. Yeah, it probably could be, but again, the demographic. Are they really going to care? Your 6 to 10-year-olds, they're probably missing a goodly chunk of the jokes that are aimed for adults anyway. They're not going to care about whether or not it looks like The Simpsons animated series or The Simpsons movie.
Yeah.
Which essentially looks the same to the naked eye, but there were, differences. The animation on the movie was a lot better.
Oh, yeah. And on that note, Matt Groening, or Gruning or Groining or whatever the hell your name is.
Gruning.
Yeah, stop waiting another 20 years to make another damn movie.
You know, I felt for sure that that movie was going to be 3D.
Oh, God, don't even. We're not even going to go there.
No, I'm serious. You wait
just
long.
Say no to 3D.
I like 3D.
3D sucks. And the only reason why I hate 3D is because it's friggin' everywhere.
But if it's done right, I mean, we were just talking last week about how awesome it would be to see Beast Wars, which originally came out in 1996, right? To see Beast Wars come out to be reissued with today's 3D technology.
It would if it's be a cartoon, I don't know. Anyways, yeah, Phineas and Ferb is awesome. So is The Sweet Life on Deck, and The Sweet Life is Zach and Cody.
Oh, no!
Yes. Thank you for joining us here on Geekcast Radio. There's a way to get contact with us. Really, feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. Join the forum, SpartaconEmpire.com/Nexus. Leave the show feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. Geekcast Radio is the show name. Mine is TFG1Mike. What is your Twitter?
Pecan Court Michael.
Become a fan on Facebook. Search Geekcast Radio Network. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Geekcast Radio. Wish you'll join us next time. For now, I am TFG1Mike with
Michael Wilson.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
Up Phineas and Ferb in a backyard feature. Every morning Phineas he gonna say, brother, what you gonna do today? Now you see we're having fun playing under the sun and get in line, cause the wet ski's running. A backyard beach, nothing's out of reach, we got the backyard beach. You can change in the token hut, drink out of a coconut. Three games for a token, but the rest is free. You got skiing, parasailing, surfing in the flail, and your contacts need sailing, the rest you can't see. Got the backyard beach, a backyard beach, nothing's out of reach, we got the backyard beach. Got the backyard beach, a backyard beach, don't fall into the breach, got the backyard beach.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Furbettes! I'm Phineas and this is Ferb and we're gonna sing a song.
Bow chicka bow wow, that's what my baby says.
Mow mow mow,
and my heart starts pumping.
Chicka chicka chew wow, I'm never gonna stop. Getcha getcha goo means that I love you.
My baby's got her own way of talking whenever she says something sweet. And she knows it's my world, she's a rockin', but my vocabulary's incomplete. Though it may sound confusing, sometimes I wish you gave it to me straight. But I never feel like I'm losing,
losing.
When I take the time to translate,
here's what I'm talking about.
Bow chicka bow wow,
that's what my baby says.
Mow mow mow,
and my heart starts pumping.
Chicka chicka chew wow,
never gonna stop.
Get you goo means that I love you.
Well I don't know what to do,
I don't know what to do,
but I think I'm getting through,
I think I'm getting through.
Dictionary, bow chicka bow wow.
That's what my baby says.
Bow bow bow.
And my heart starts pumping.
Chicka chicka chew wop. Never gonna stop. Get you goo means that I love you. I said a bow chicka bow wow.
That's what my baby says.
Bow bow bow.
And my heart starts pumping.
Chicka chicka chew wop. Never gonna stop. Get you goo means that I love you. Get you goo means that I love you. Get you goo means.
Get you goo
means that I love you.
There's squirrels in my pants.
Tell me what's making you jump like that.
S-I-M-P, squirrels in my pants.
Ain't got no chickens, ain't got no rats.
S-I-M-P, squirrels in my pants.
S to the I to the M to the P. Then maybe you can be moving like me. Step right over and watch me put it down.
S to the I to the M to the P.
Step right over and watch me put it down.
S to the I to the M to the P.
Can I qualify for government grants?
S-I-M-P, squirrels in my pants.
Hypnotize me, put me in a trance.
S-I-M-P, squirrels in my pants.
Got her name Florence, living in France.
She can't see the
squirrels in my pants.
Step right over and watch me put it down.
S-I-M-P,
step right over and watch me put it down. Step right over and watch me put it down. Step right over and watch me put it down.
Down on the ground. Cause you know I got it going on.
S to the I to the M to the P.
S to the I to the M to the P.
If your pockets are empty, get a cash advance.
S to the I to the M to the P.
If you're losing your hair, get yourself some plans.
If you're wrestling a bear, then you ain't got a chance.
Old Uncle Freddy just rages and rants.
Ain't about love, ain't about romance. I got squirrels in my pants.
We're watching and we're waiting on the edge of our seats, anticipating. It's looking awful permanent, but we know it could go away. We're keeping our eyes peeled, keeping them glued to the spot. Cause one moment it's there, but then the next maybe not. Don't know if it's magic or some weird cosmic plot. So we're watching and we're waiting. Watching and waiting, so we're watching and waiting. Yeah, we're watching and waiting. We're watching.
You can expect Evil Incorporated
in a world. There, I said it. Happy.